The finale of Haydn's Cello Concerto No. 1 in C major, played by Janos Darker, with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra conducted by Gerard Schwartz, here on VPR Classical at 8 minutes past 11 o'clock. Janos Darker died Sunday at the age of 88. I'm Walter Parker, and I'm joined in the VPR studios by cellist Daniel Lelchuk, who studied with Janos Darker for 1 year at Indiana University. It was 1 year, was it, Daniel?
Yes, it was 1 year, my first year there.
Well, thank you for stopping by today on short notice after we found out about the death of Janos Darker. Did you have any immediate reactions? I mean, he was 88 and had lived a long life.
Well, of course, my immediate reaction was sadness and regret, and I'd been thinking about him a lot recently because I knew he had been in declining health. And, of course, his influence on the cello community worldwide and the musical world is huge. Yeah.
Now, before we get more into Janos Darker, let's give a little bit of your background. You've been on VPR Classical at least twice that I recall. I think the first time was soon after you graduated from Hanover High, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was just after I'd graduated. I came here and I played Brahms and Mendelssohn and Beethoven.
With Dan Weiser of Classicopia.
Yes, that's right.
And then you were on your way to Indiana at that point.
Yes, and it was a whole new world for me. It's a huge music school and a mecca for musicians from all over the world, and it's in the middle of this great town in the Midwest in cornfields, and suddenly there you are with people like Starker, with Menachem Pressler, with the horn player Myron Bloom, and the list goes on and on.
The Kalickstein, Laredo Robinson folks were there.
Sure.
Andre
Watts. Jamie
Laredo was
also
there for a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since moved on to the Cleveland Institute. But Janos Darker taught there from 1958 or so, wasn't it?
1958. Absolutely.
And so you got him near the end of his teaching career.
Yes.
And what was it like studying with this great eminence of the cello, who was not known to be easy on his pupils?
Well, he was not easy on his pupils, that's for sure. And one could learn very much from observing him in addition to playing for him. He had a very specific approach to cello, and he had specific principles that he adhered to, technical and musical principles. And those were in evidence all the time in every piece and with every student and in every performance he gave.
What sort of principles?
Well, he had specific technical principles with respect to shifting in the left hand, for example, with respect to bowing in the right hand, where in the bow certain kinds of strokes should be played, when to shift, how to shift. And he always said anticipation is the most important thing in music. And he was all about preparing the shifts, preparing the left hand, so nothing was jerky, nothing was violent. It was all fluid, and you can hear that in his playing. We just heard the great finale of the Haydn C major concerto, and you can hear all of the virtuosic passage work is tossed off with such fluency, because if you look at his hand when he's playing, you see it just moving absolutely fluently up and down the fingerboard.
Now, was it your understanding that this was a technique, these were concepts that he developed over his long career, or did he inherit these from a teacher of his?
Well, he said he had a great teacher called Adolf Schiffer, who was a great Hungarian pedagogue. But Starker took his first student when he was 8 years old, and his student was six. And I really think Starker developed many of these principles himself. And no one sounds like he does on any string instrument.
I'm speaking with Daniel Lelchuk, a native of the Upper Connecticut River Valley, who spent a year studying with the late Janos Darker at Indiana University. And we'll speak some more about Janos Darker during this hour, but we're going to listen to lots of recordings of Starker as well. And you brought a recording of Brahms trios next. in which Janos Starker is joined by whom?
He's joined here by Julius Katchen on the piano and Josef Suk on the violin. And one of the reasons I love this recording is because the warmth of Katchen and Suk sort of pull Starker into a bit of a different kind of expressive world than he usually inhabits. And he really melds with them in the most golden, beautiful way.
Well, let's hear the second movement of the first piano trio of Brahms in B major. The second movement of Johannes Brahms' Piano Trio No. 1 in B major, as performed by violinist Julius Katchen, violinist Josef Suk, pianist Julius Katchen, and the late cellist Janos Starker, who is the topic of our conversation in this hour. It's 19 past 11. I'm Walter Parker, and my guest is cellist Daniel Lelchuk, a native of the Upper Valley who studied a year with Janos Starker at Indiana University, and that was near the end of his teaching career. That would have been what year? 2007 or 2008?
It
somewhere
was
in there?
7, 8 years, exactly.
And then he was teaching less and less after that?
Yes, he started to pare down his teaching a little bit. When I first got there, the first year, his very famous 1 p.m. Saturday masterclass was still happening, which he had done probably almost since the beginning, where he would hold a public master class, and cellists from all over the world would come and play. Some would play from Indiana, from his studio, from other studios, and it was a very collegial environment.
And you mentioned to me earlier, I think off the air, that his every class he taught, private classes, were open to the public. That is, you could come and audition.
Yes, anybody could watch. They were open to the public, and there were always observers from many different places. Some were cellists, some were violinists, and some were journalists or students of drama or any category of person who was interested in teaching, observing the teaching of a master.
But your relationship with Janos Starker goes back a lot farther than your freshman year at Indiana University. You told me you met him when you were 4 or 5 years old?
Yes, I met him when I was 5 in Jerusalem. I was spending my kindergarten year there, and I had started the cello at 4 3/4, and so it was very new to me. But I knew the name Starker from a very early age, and he gave a master class in Jerusalem that, of course, I didn't play in, but I observed. And I met him afterwards, and he knelt down next to me when he heard I was a new cellist, and he put his hand in my head, and he said, "Practice." And he smiled, and he gave that very, very famous smile, and his eyes were twinkling, which remained with him also through the last time I saw him at Indiana, when he would say something charming or make a joke or something lighthearted or humorous or playful. He'd look around, and his eyes would be glimmering, and he'd look at everybody and sort of smile out of the corner of his eye, and it was a great image.
Because we know him as sort of a stern, we have an impression of him as a stern teacher, but he was a little more mischievous than that?
Well, I think he was, but I think the stern was also very much part of who he was and how he taught and the standards that he demanded from himself and from others. There's a famous story that someone told me of a master class he gave, I think, in the 70s, where the student played. It didn't go very well at all. And Starker paused, and he lit another cigarette, and he said, "If I were to come into a room that was a complete disaster zone, everything was overturned, all the dressers were open, all the contents were thrown on the floor, the bed was turned upside down, TV was on the ground, and I picked up one little sock and folded it and put it in its place. That would be as if I tried to help you today.
Ouch.
Ouch, exactly.
Yes. Well, let's hear some more from the great Janosch Darker performing himself. We have him again collaborating with someone he recorded with quite a bit, another Hungarian expatriate, Antal Doraty, the conductor, here leading the London Symphony Orchestra. We're going to hear the middle movement, the intermezzo, from the cello concerto in D minor of Edward Lalo, the late cellist Janosch Darker. Wonderful, delicate music, the intermezzo from the cello concerto in D minor of Edward Lalo, Janosch Darker, playing cello with the London Symphony Orchestra conducted by Antal Doraty, his longtime partner in concerti. That recording made in 1962. It's 29 minutes past 11 o'clock. You're listening to VPR Classical. I'm Walter Parker, and we are remembering the late cellist Janosch Darker, the great cellist who died Sunday at the age of 88. Joining me to remember Starker is a student who studied with him for a year at Indiana University, where Starker taught for many decades, Daniel Lelchuk, a native of the Upper Connecticut River Valley region, attended Hanover High before he went off to Indiana University. And you were mentioning that that intermezzo is a great example of his delicate playing, how beautifully he could play delicately. And so how would you characterize his playing compared to other great cellists that we know, Rostropovich and Leonard Rose and the various great cellists around during, I mean, there are plenty of great cellists during the 20th century. What was unique about Janosch Darker?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Rostropovich and Rose, because if you contrast the three of them, Starker, Rose, and Rostropovich, you have three extremely high-level musicians and cellists and absolutely different musical personalities and cellistic personalities. And with Rose, you have a great depth of tone and a nobility in the phrasing. And with Rostropovich, you have an absolute grandeur and music on a huge scale and cello playing that you think can fill the universe with the quantity of sound. And with Starker, you have a more intimate style, and you have absolute purity in the tone and a finesse that I think was very well exhibited in the intermezzo from the Lalo concerto, because he really had a way of conjuring up beautiful and elegant shapes that made their way into the sound.
And now, who did he admire? Who did he like to play with? We mentioned Antal Doraty as a conductor, but did he have chamber musicians that he liked to perform with?
He did, although I think the musicians he admired very much the most, well, probably first and foremost, was Jascha Heifetz, the great violinist, some say the greatest violinist of the century, certainly a contender. Heifetz soloed often with the Chicago Symphony when Starker was the principal cello, with Fritz Reiner conducting, who Starker believed was the greatest conductor in the world. And Starker said he heard a level of instrumental playing that was absolutely the standard. And he also admired Feuermann very much. He admired Casals, but he felt he was a 19th century cellist, basically, as good as he was. But Feuermann, he felt, really brought the cello to the 20th century.
What is a 19th century cellist compared to a 20th century cellist?
Well, I think with Feuermann you had a real development in the way the cello could be played and the technical standard, and he proved to audiences and fellow musicians that the cello could be absolutely as glorious and as well played technically as the violin, which before that had not really been exhibited to the degree he did, and Starker absolutely continued that.
You were referring to Emanuel Feuermann.
Yes, yes.
The Feuermann you mentioned. We're remembering Janos Starker, who died at age 88, the Hungarian-born cellist who came to this country after World War II. I believe he spent some time in a prison camp, didn't he, during World War II?
Yes, he did. He was interned by the Nazis. His two older brothers were killed in the Holocaust in Hungary. He and his parents escaped, and they came to America after the war. He made his way to Paris working as a sulfur miner and an electrician after the war.
And it was apparently with some help from Indiana University intervening with the State Department or the Immigration Department to vouch for him and help get him here.
Yes, it was. Indiana University had extremely visionary and intelligent and wonderful leadership, Herman Wells, the president, and Wilfred Bain, the dean of the music school. And they felt that Starker could help bring the music school into true international prominence. Menachem Pressler had been hired the year before, and they felt Starker was setting new standards in cello playing and was going to be a real force on the musical scene. So Pressler came in 1957, Starker in 1958, although after the war, the administration of Indiana University wrote a letter of intent to hire him to the immigration officials, and that helped him get in when he started his principal cello with Dorothy in the Dallas Symphony.
So Indiana helped him get here, but then he went off with Dorothy in Dallas. It was about 10 years before he actually started teaching at Indiana.
Yes.
In 58, after he came here. Well, let's listen to more of Janos Starker. You've selected something from one of Bach's unaccompanied cello suites. What are we going to hear?
Yes, I suggested we hear the prelude to the sixth suite, and it's one of the most difficult movements ever written for cello. And in this, we'll be able to hear the golden tone of Starker and his ability to make the cello sing in all areas of the instrument.
Now, you said he recorded these unaccompanied suites for cello of Bach multiple times?
Five times. He said every time he switched recording labels, he recorded the Bach suites.
And this is the last time?
This is the last one on RCA.
The prelude to the sixth unaccompanied cello suite of Johann Sebastian Bach, played by the late Janos Starker in his fifth and last recording of the cello suites of Bach. I'm Walter Parker. It's 40 minutes past 11 o'clock on this Tuesday morning, and my guest is cellist Daniel Lelchuk, a native of the Upper Valley, who studied with Janos Starker for a year at Indiana University, where Starker taught for many decades, from 1958 until, I don't know how long ago, when did he actually stop teaching, do you know?
Well, he didn't retire. I mean, he taught from 1958 till 2013, I suppose. He was teaching at his home through this winter.
Now, you said there's a nice note in the recording of that fifth recording of his, of the cello suites, that Janos Starker made some interesting comments about recording Bach.
Yes, he wrote this in the program booklet. I was often asked why at age 70 I'm recording Bach's suites for the fifth time when the previous statements have been received with praise. I recoil from using poetry to describe my music. I prefer to express poetry through music. Playing Bach is a never-ending quest for beauty, as well as, in some sense, the truth. One only hopes to get near to it. As the years and decades go by, the understanding grows while the technical means weaken. Let me say that I meant this fifth recording to be my last statement about the suites, but certainly not the ultimate. As before, it was an enriching and humbling experience.
Well, he was obviously a remarkable man and clearly a great cellist and philosopher of the cellist and music. Did he have wide interests? Was he interested in literature and politics and other things, or was he focused on music?
Well, he was a musician first and foremost, naturally, but he was a very cultured individual, and he did a lot of reading. He did a lot of traveling. He had friends in many disciplines, and I think part of teaching at a great university, in addition to a great school of music, was that he was able to cultivate friendships with people in many disciplines.
Yes, the obituary that announcing his death at Indiana University set out reminded us that Bobby Knight, the longtime famous, almost notorious coach of the Indiana University basketball team, asked Janosch Starker to come and speak to his basketball team.
Yes, they were friendly, and I think Bobby Knight so admired Starker's ability to demand perfection from himself and a very high level from his students that he thought, maybe Starker can help my boys out a little. So we brought over Starker, and Starker gave a lecture and spoke to the team, and I think it was a very interesting crossing paths that you can't find at many other places in the world.
Too bad we don't have a recording of that pep talk.
No.
That would be interesting, I think. Janosch Starker speaking to Bobby Knight's Indiana University basketball team, at any rate. Well, we have time for a little bit more music. It's 11:43 on this Tuesday morning. This is one of my choices here because I love this music so much, and it's wonderful to hear Janosch Starker playing it. This is the finale from the Cello Sonata in G Minor, Opus 19 of Rachmaninoff. Janosch Starker joined here by pianist Shigeo Nariki. Final movement of Rachmaninoff's Cello Sonata in G Minor, Opus 19, as performed by cellist Janosch Starker with pianist Shigeo Nariki. And as we were listening to that, I'm Walter Parker. My guest is Daniel Lelchuk. You were referring to his playing as perhaps more classical, even in that very romantic piece by Rachmaninoff.
Yes, he was not playing it in an extremely effusive, robust, passionate style. Rather, he had this quality that we call parlando, where you really feel each note as its own. It's a speaking quality. You feel each note as its own entity and each note as a beautiful piece of sound rather than this endless sort of lugubrious style, which also has its merits.
And he had something to say about excitement?
Yes, he always quoted his great friend, the great pianist, late pianist George Shebok, who said, "Create excitement. Don't get excited."
Aha. Stay in control to create the excitement. Well, we've been remembering the great cellist Janosch Starker, who died Sunday at the age of 88. My guest has been cellist Daniel Lelchuk of the Upper Valley. That's where he's from. You're traveling the world now as a cellist. And in the summers, you spend them with Lauren Mazel at his festival in Virginia?
Yes, I play the principal cello there since 2010. And starting this summer, we also have a regular subscription chamber concerts here with the Castleton Chamber Players, of which I'm the cellist. And it's, of course, a great honor to play with the maestro of this quality.
Well, we hope we can get you back in the VPR Performance Studio for a third performance.
It would be my pleasure.
Sometime in the near future. Cellist Daniel Lelchuk joining us to remember his teacher, Janos Darker. It's 4 minutes before noon. We have time for a little bit of his last performance, his last public performance, that of Janos Darker. And was this again with Shigeo Noriki?
Yes, it was.
And we're going to hear a little bit of the finale of the Richard Strauss cello sonata from the last public performance of Janos Darker. Thanks a lot, Daniel.
Thank you.